Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, the Three Modes of Material Nature, text number 12. Lobha pravritti arambha, karmanam ashamasriha, rajasye tani jayante, vivride paratarshava. Lobha, greed, pravritti, activity, arambha, endeavor, karmanam, inactivities, ashama, uncontrollable, spriha, desire, rajasi, of the mode of passion, Etani, all these, Jayante, develop, Vibride, when there is an excess, Bharata Rishabha, O chief of the descendants of Bharata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O chief of the Bharatas, when there is increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruitive activities, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop. Purport. When one in the mode of passion is never satisfied with the position he has already acquired, he hankers to increase his position. If he wants to construct a residential house, he tries his best to have a palatial house, as if he were able to reside in that house eternally. And he develops a great hankering for sense gratification. There is no end to sense gratification. He always wants to remain with his family and in his house, continue the process of sense gratification. There is no cessation of this. All these symptoms should be understood as characteristic of the mode of passion. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskadhyade Siddharane. We heard about the mode of goodness, how all the gates of the body are illuminated with knowledge. Now we're hearing about passion, something we could probably all relate to. At least we have experience of the mode of passion. Know anyone who wants to live in a nice house? A palatial house? He wants to live with his family forever and ever? Never, never. Forever and ever. He doesn't want any end to sense gratification. The mode of passion used to be very prominent in society. If you went downtown today, you were downtown Ljubljana, notice anyone in passion? Anyone in a hurry downtown to go somewhere? It's like at the airports, we're distributing the books in the airport. Often we find someone running in one direction, and you try to stop them. You say, no time, I'm late for my flight. And 5 minutes later, you see them running the opposite direction. Try to stop them. You couldn't stop them. Oh, I'm going to miss my flight.
I'm doing train stations. It's safe.
I remember one time I was at the Memphis airport. We were distributing books. Small airport, actually. Someone ran by and they started to curse us. And then they ran back the other way and stopped and bought a book. So we can't expect, in the mode of passion also there's a little bit of insanity, but in the mode of ignorance is complete insanity. Mode of passion, people are working hard, hoping For instance, people go to university hoping to get a good job. Know anyone like that? Hoping to get a good job. And then they go to the university, especially in America. They have a debt. When I went to college, I was paying $500 a semester for my tuition. And I was on a scholarship. So by the time I got through college, I didn't have to pay anything. So it was already paid for. But I know if I went, there are colleges now, you have to pay $50,000 a semester. That's more than 50,000 euros now. And by the time you're done with college, you're in debt for like 250,000 or $300,000. That's just not even paying for your books and paying for your food and accommodations. Sometimes you're in debt for $500,000 by the time you get to college. And then you get a job as a waiter in a cafeteria. Making $10 an hour. I had a friend like that when I was... He was a PhD. He got his first PhD. And then he was going for a second one, but he had to go get a job. So he tried to get a job in a steel factory, but they wouldn't hire him because they said he was overeducated. So he had a PhD. I forget what, but he couldn't get a job because he was overeducated for all the jobs. And yet people are willing to work hard in order to get something, but then they usually don't get what they were working so hard for. Like I had one, there was one devotee in Peru. He was an army officer. He was a lieutenant. And he was going to go to Officer Candidate School in America to get a higher promotion. And he was the top of his, he was a nice devotee, he was the top of his class. But then the commander who was in charge, he had a cousin or something who was also looking for the same position. So my friend lost out. The devotee lost out. He didn't get a job. He didn't go to America. His some other person went simply because of nepotism. Of course, then he left the army, which was good. This devotee became so frustrated, he left the army and joined the Hare Krishna movement. So I guess Krishna has mercy on him. Anyhow, in this age, people are working hard and they're promised so many different things, but they never really get what they want. Like one boy in China, he heard how glorious, this is like 5 years ago, he heard about how glorious an iPhone was. But he couldn't afford it because they're quite expensive in China. So he donated his kidney. He had his kidney donated. In order to get an iPhone. So his mother noticed there was something wrong with his health, so she inquired and she found out he had sold his kidney for 40,000 euros in order to buy an iPhone. And he was going to sell his other kidney in order to get a MacBook Pro. I mean, they're good phones, but... Call the doctor. Doctor, help. I need a kidney. So this is the mode of passion in Kali Yuga. Due to the influence of especially false propaganda, that you can get happiness by the accumulation of material things. And people are convinced like that. There's even a bumper sticker in America. It's a little bummer. It says, whoever gets the most toys at the end of life wins. And if you ever go to America, you'll see that People have, in some places, not all places, but they have pretty big houses there. And in every house is at least one room for the children's toys. So they start them early. When I was young, I used to play with pennies. I had some toy soldiers too, plastic soldiers. But now you have, sometimes you have playhouses as big as some people's houses. With the children playing, they, after a few hours they get bored and they just throw, you know, they push it aside and want something else. You have all these toy trucks and the train station, you know, the trains going around and all kinds of things going on. They have whole rooms for just full of their toys. So they're trained up from the very early age in the mode of passion. And they don't start early enough. In America, now it's 4, 5, 6-year-old children. They're put into these, they have this LGBT. What's that? BTQ, now it's IA plus 41 other ones. So from they teach children about sexuality and the schools now are starting at 5 years old. The things that were banned previously, you go to jail for 10 years, is pornography. That's what they're teaching the children now at 5 years old. And if your child comes home and tells you, the parents, that they want a sex change when they're 10 years old, and the parents protest. I mean, this is literally, I'm not making this up. The parents can be reported to police and go to jail for some years for objecting to their child's having a sex change when they're 10 years old. So this is, I don't know if it's passion or ignorance, but it's not goodness. What to speak of transcendence? So the point is that unless people are given some knowledge, just like nowadays, so many people are protesting. But they don't, I mean, they have no idea what they're, for instance, in China now, there's some protests. Why? Because they lock down the people, sometimes in cities, like for instance, in April, in, what's the name of that big city in China? Shanghai? Is it Shanghai? No, Shanghai. Shanghai has a population of 25 million people in it. It's the second biggest city in the world. 3 times bigger than New York City. And they shut the whole city down. People can't go outside the city. They can't go outside their houses. For years now, they've had lockdowns. And in April, they completely shut the whole entire city down. So people are protesting, obviously, because they... Well, actually what happened is that there was some place where they had a lockdown. And people were... What they do in China, they actually lock your door down. They nail your door so you can't get out. Now, it's especially problematic when you're hungry. You'd have to eat the door down. So then there was a fire, but because people were locked, they were locked into their houses, they couldn't get out, so they burned to death, the apartment. So then people all over China said, well, we're in the same position. They're also nailing our doors down, so we can't get out. So they had some protests. The problem is, obviously, I would protest too, if they locked... Imagine if they locked the temple down, they didn't give us any prasadam. It would be rather inconvenient. But they actually don't have they don't know what the alternative is. They're protesting for free speech, whatever else. But people have free speech, they don't know how to utilize it properly. And therefore Krishna takes it away from them. Matter of fact, when they have freedom, they don't know how to utilize it properly, and therefore Krishna takes it away from them. Therefore, the symptom of the mode of passion, unlimited hankering, and unlimited attachment is not very good, and the result is that by performing activities in the mode of passion, one falls into the mode of ignorance. And from the mode of ignorance, one goes down to the animal species of life. That's why there are so many animals and ants and other species of life. Because generally speaking, most people are trained up because it takes training. It's not hard, it's not easy to go to hell. You really have to work hard to do it. I mean, generally speaking, you have to go through a lot of austerity in order to go to hell. Just think of people getting up. They don't like to get up. They rather, you know, when they get the chance, they sleep all weekend. But they have to get up early in the morning, you know, get in their car with all these other crazy people driving their cars to go to work, to do something they hate to do 8 hours a day. And then they come home, and their children couldn't care less about them. The wife is nowhere to be seen. She's out shopping, spending the money he hasn't made yet. The children, you know, are watching some crazy, you know, they're playing video games and killing things. They don't even know that the father comes home. There's nothing to eat. No appreciation. And he sits down, and in order to relax, he sees some horror movie. So he can get his mind off the horrible things he was doing all day long. And he looks forward to the weekend where he can go to sleep all weekend. Get a little intoxicated and go to sleep. So this is how they've been trained. This is the role model the children see. And therefore, naturally, they fall into ignorance just to get a little diversion, a little relief from their passion. They fall into ignorance. And the only hope is that people are trained up to understand that there's another purpose of life. It's not very difficult to understand that we're eternal and that the aim of life is to become aware of something higher. There's some higher purpose of life. As I was reading today, Prabhupada said, because people have no goal in life. Therefore, they're engaged in simply aimless sense gratification because they have nothing else to do. It's like they sit down with potato chips. They're not even, and they're watching a television, they're not even aware of what they're eating. And they get done with one potato chip bag after another. They didn't even know they ate them. What are these potato chip bags? What are they doing here? Oh, you just ate them. Oh, really? Because they have nothing else to do. There's no proper engagement. So at least we're giving people an understanding of what the actual purpose of life is. To actually become, reawaken our original consciousness where we can actually become satisfied. So we don't have to endlessly try to look for satisfaction. We can actually find it. We can actually have a purpose of life other than simply to escape it. Just like in America, people would always go, they'd go in the airport, sometimes they'd run by and say, get a job. They'd always say, well, we have a job and we're making 10 times more than you are. because they don't know what the goal of life is, you know, all they can do, they're frustrated. And therefore, they try to escape into the mode of ignorance. Of course, they declare that we're escaping. But actually, we're escaping from the mode of ignorance. They're escaping into the mode of ignorance. We're trying to get out of it. Reminds me of that drawing I saw. Someone was going to hell. And you see all the fire, the smoke, and everything going on, and he's on a line going to hell. And someone turns around and says, "The secret is to keep hydrated." Drink enough water. So that's all. That's what's going on in modern society, because people don't natevidu swarthakatim hi vishnu darashaya bahir artamanina. They don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna. Therefore, they're working for something insignificant. It's like this devotee was telling me that they're still buying these iPhones. iPhone 14, whatever. Because they have nothing else to do. There's no higher goal in life. It's the same phone that they got, that they bought last year. The camera just looks different. But they're willing to go into debt and work so many hours a day to buy something which is the same thing they bought last year. As if last year, when they bought it, they were suddenly in the Vaikuntha. They did a selfie with them and Krishna in Vaikuntha. But no, actually, they didn't get any satisfaction last year, and now they're spending this more money in order to get the same thing again, hoping that this time it's going to be different. But actually, Krishna consciousness is the only thing that will actually make a difference. Those who are sane, Prabhupada said, not everyone has to become Krishna conscious. Just a small percentage of the population, if they become Krishna conscious, then people will look and observe, well, they're not working like madmen, and yet they're happy. Maybe there's some other thing to do other than run back and forth, work during the day in some office job or whatever they're doing, a factory, and then in the afternoon or in the evening, go with their family trying to figure out how to spend it on something that didn't make them happy last time they bought it, but they hope it's going to be different this time because it has a new package on it. So if people actually understand, they see that there's a group of people who are actually happy and are not in the mode of passion or ignorance, then they'll inquire, how did you become happy? That's why people actually buy books, by the way, usually speaking. Because they don't know what you're doing, but then again, they don't know what anyone is doing. We may look crazy, but we're not any more crazy. We don't look any more crazy than anyone else does nowadays. And usually people around here, they don't say get a job because they don't have a job either. They don't want you to get a job because it may take their job away from them. But if they see we're actually enthusiastic, that's what actually makes the difference. When they see then they want to find out, because that's what they're trying to be, is enthusiastic. They're trying to be happy and peaceful and enthusiastic. And if they see someone that resembles that, then they become inquisitive. Well, what made you so happy or peaceful, enthusiastic? So, and even though by the book, just to remind them of someone who is enthusiastic or peaceful, because I didn't meet anyone a long time like that. And if you stop someone and you say something nice to them, they're amazed, because no one ever says anything nice to them. No one seems confident and convinced of anything nowadays. No one is polite or nice to anyone. No one is enthusiastic or peaceful. So when they see any quality like that, where do you come from? What planet did you arrive from? Wherever it is, I'd like to at least go visit it. Maybe I'll become a permanent resident. So because the mode of passion ignorance is so prominent, even if someone shows a little bit of goodness, then it becomes outstanding. It's like putting a black spot on a white bedsheet. The only thing you can notice is the black spot. So if someone is a little in goodness, a little peaceful, polite, tranquil, a little bit of knowledgeable, a little bit of appreciative of someone else besides themselves, and people are like amazed. We didn't learn this in school. Which school did you go to? So that's, therefore we should understand, we should see what the mode of passion is, we should see what the mode of ignorance is, and we should also try to act at least as a representative of Krishna transcendentally, somewhat in the mode of goodness. Of course, a little passion has to be there too, otherwise you can't stop anyone. Or you have to be exactly the opposite. When everyone's running by, you go. Then everyone's, if you have to be completely different from everyone else, then everyone stops. Excuse me, sir. So we used to do like that. People would stop and they say, here. And people would like, they watch you. Because no one ever did anything like that. What's that?
Does it work?
Yeah, you can't do it all the time, people, you know. It depends. And so you can try it. You'll probably find people will find it amusing. It's like you do that for little babies, you know. You go, here it goes, this is the airplane. And the baby looks, and you go, oh. Well, one thing that does work on the street, if someone's walking by, you go, wow, look at those shoes. They're fat. Wow, look at that shirt. Hey, my name is... People like compliments. If you just compliment someone, then they stop. At least in America, they do like that. If someone walks away, wow, are those rattlesnake shoes? Wow, my name's... Because in America, the cowboys, they all had different kinds of shoes on, boots on all the time. And there's a whole club or the whole cult. There's like a cult. And the cult is, you know, what kind of shoes you have. Boots for the cowboys. They had rattlesnake, water moccasin shoes made of the leather of these animals. Rat shoes, every kind of shoe. So if you knew what the shoes were, then you were one of the intimate members of the club. So if someone walks by and you go, moccasin shoes. And they go, yeah, Phil, what's your name? Anyhow, so somehow or another, if we have a little intelligence, we know how to capture people's minds. Because we think people are, you know, they're completely aware and they're, you know, so many. But actually, people are walking around like they're half in a daze. And if we're just a little friendly and receptive to them, a little bit of goodness, a little bit enthusiastic, and then they identify ourselves something with us. You know, something we can appreciate. Then people will actually, they wake up a little bit. Wow, a friend. Someone who likes me. Wow, this is unusual. Then it's possible to introduce these books and people will get some vision about what's actually going on. They're not going to get it from reading the newspapers, any kind of newspaper. The only way they can actually find out what's going on is through Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, the whole society is so much in ignorance and passion, there's hardly any real knowledge left of reality. It's always the good guys and the bad guys. Before it was the Indians and the cowboys. Now it's the the left, the whatever, the conservatives against the Illuminati or something. It's always the good people and the bad people. But actually everyone is in ignorance. Even you find out what the conspiracy was actually, they don't realize that they're all part of the conspiracy. They don't realize it. They don't understand that there's simply the material nature is working in such a way as either to put us in ignorance or passion or sometimes goodness. But unless we can understand what is the process of getting out of material consciousness, out of material conceptions, then we're all lost. We're all part of the cycle of birth and death here. And only by this knowledge can we actually make some progress out of it. Whether if you're in a jail cell, and it's a very first-class jail cell, you're still in jail. Even if they put you in jail, it has a nice television set in it and some flowers in your jail cell. You're still in jail. So even in this material world, it was one big jail cell. Unless we get some knowledge how to get out of it, then everyone is unfortunate. There's no one who's actually fortunate here. It may appear temporarily that someone is very fortunate, more fortunate than others, but that fortune, if it's not utilized properly, creates even more misfortune for them. Therefore, the only hope is to distribute this knowledge so that people can actually understand that mode of passion will not help them, the mode of goodness, ignorance certainly won't help them, and goodness will help them, but only to the point that it can help them to get out of their material conceptions of life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You gave a few hints for people who are like impassioned. How can you distribute books to people who are in ignorance?
Usually you can't. Depends if you can relate to them. Like Manodharva used to say that when he was distributing in Germany, that people with some ignorance, everything that they looked at, they got in their hands, they'd try to figure out what it would taste like. So he'd give people a book and say, this is chocolate. You know, the cover is brown. He said, this is a chocolate book, so that people could relate to it. Maybe they could take out, oh, this is a strawberry one. I don't know. I mean, trying to distribute books to people too much in the, you can't, it's not possible unless you're super enthusiastic, unless you're super empowered to distribute books to everyone. So to try to, you have to judge and see what your potency is. And, you know, what the possibilities are. I mean, there's some people in ignorance, they're actually attracted to Krishna consciousness. There's stories of devotees, you know, some bum comes up to them, some bum, you know, people homeless, they come up, they want to see what the book is. And the devotees are reluctant, you know, to give them the book, but then finally gives them the book, he looks at it, they have these supermarket carts, and his whole belongings are on there. He goes into it, rummages through, pulls out $5 and gives it to the devotee. So we can't always judge, but generally speaking, they're usually not our best customers. Generally people who are a little bit more, you know, you can tell people are happy, they're not running as fast as everyone else, they're a little, usually younger people or whatever, you can tell who's probably most receptive. Isn't that right? Most of the time. At least if there's a clear demarcation and you're familiar with the society. Like sometimes everyone, certain cultures, everyone seems to be alike. Therefore, sometimes it's more, you have to be part of that culture to understand who's actually most, probably most receptive. Otherwise, you look at everyone, it looks the same, you know. But generally speaking, people appear to be a little bit more in goodness are generally better customers. They don't look like, you know, they've taken too many drugs. Anything else? Kuala, Grandhara, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Kijai.